All right, we're going to be doing a teaching on focusing on becoming new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. And then we have to ask the question, why do we need a new earth? So we're kind of say Yahweh made it perfect originally. So we're going to look at that at Genesis 1:31.
That's so great.
And it is kind of interesting. The word earth in Hebrew is eretz. Eretz. And it's feminine. Why heavens is masculine. So the earth is feminine and the heavens is masculine. So eretz is the Hebrew for earth.
Can you spell it?
E-R-E-T-S. Eretz. And that's all can be also can be land. All right, so Genesis 1:31. And Elohim said under saw everything that he had made, and lo, it was very good. So it was evening, and it was morning the sixth day. So everything is fine. So we have to find out what happened, and why do we need another earth in the first place? And what we're going to find out is really one problem, and that is some men. Not all men, but some men. All right? Unrighteous, wicked men and women. All right, that's what we're going to be discussing, you know, why we need a new earth and why that's where it's going to dwell righteousness. So we saw that Cain murdered Abel, and that really divides two men into two. We have the wicked man, Cain, and we have the good man, which is Abel. That kind of follows all the way through. So we got evil and good. Both existed on the earth. You know, Cain got wiped out, or Abel got wiped out, but Cain lived. So we have three classifications of men. So we have good men, like us, seeking to obey the Creator and love the neighbor as thyself. If it was just us on the earth would be probably 95% cured. Very simple. People who were living righteously, we saw in Deuteronomy 28, if you do righteousness, you have rain, you have crops, you have fruit, you have everything that you want. If you obey Yahweh's word. Those are the good people. Then we have the other extreme, which is the evil people. All right? Like the seed of Cain. These rebel against the Creator by fulfilling their lust. And so there's two of us. In essence, what we all have to do is we look at whether we are promote sodomy, they promote abortion, they promote stealing from people. This is the way the United States has always been. So half the people, the voters at least, have always been evil. And so there's been a conflict back and forth. Same way with the land of Israel, same way with the land of Judah. There's always been a struggle. So we have good men. So we got half the voters were righteous. Then you have evil men. Half of them were wicked. And then you have weak men. And so I'm going to classify these as they're good men, seeking good, but by poor people. And so you had the good seed, and you had the pathway, which was the evil seed, which never got, just got dropped on. And then you had the rocky and thorn ways. And those are the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, a lot of different things, blind. And so you have many good people doing wicked things. All right? For whatever reason, they'll be sorry about it in the future. All right, but no matter what, it's still wicked. All right, and that's happening upon the earth. And so if these people weren't on there, and it's not Yahweh's fault. He gave us a perfect earth to work with. But we have men, or bad men. And so we're going to look at Psalms 2, verse 1 through 12. It kind of tells the situation. Wherefore hath nations assembled in turmoil, for should peoples mutter an empty thing? The kings of the earth take their station. This is very important. The kings of the earth take their station, and grave men had met by appointment together against honor a homosexual, a person who commits sodomy. And they want to break the bonds of Christianity. He that sitteth in the heavens, but here's Yahweh, he that sitteth in the heavens will laugh. And as thy possession is the end of the earth, Thou shalt shepherd them with a scepter of what?
Iron.
As a potter's vessel, thou shalt. So we have people who the audacity to come against the Creator. And we see that in scientists, with Darwinists. We see it in anybody who rejects the Creator. Their focus is not on the new earth. You know, they're going to get everything that they can out of this earth. We can see that in Genesis. We don't have to go there. But Genesis 6, 100 billion. So they did the numbers that people living to be 900 years old and how many children they had, and they didn't have natural predators and the food of the land that they had, and so you'd have 500 billion people who were destroyed. There's no one to flood. Who caused that problem? Yahweh or men?
Men.
All right, Genesis 11, 1 through 9 is Babel. And here they're building a temple to come against Yahweh. All right, so he has to scatter people all throughout the nations. We go into John, the Gospel of John, and we see, who did they kill? Christ.
Messiah.
Yeah, the Messiah. And what did he do that was so wrong? He healed people. He raised people from the dead. He taught them the truth. And that shows you the heart of what's on this earth. All right? That they would kill the Messiah. And a really good illustration of this is Mark 11, or Mark 12. Let's go to Mark chapter 12. Verse 1 through 9. Here's a parable.
Mark 11.
Mark chapter 12, no. Verse 1.
Give us a minute now.
And if somebody wants to read that,
I'll read it.
Okay.
Mark chapter 12, verse 1.
Through 9. Wait a minute. Yeah, 1 through 9.
And he began to be speaking unto them in parables. A man planted a vineyard, put round it a wall, and digged a wine vat, and built a tower, and left it to the husbandman, and left home. And he sent forth unto the husbandman in the season a servant, that from the husbandman he might receive of the fruits of the vineyard. And taking him, they beat him, and they sent him away empty. And again sent he forth unto them another servant, and him they smote on the head and dishonored. And another sent he forth, and they slew him, and many others, some indeed beating, others slain. Yet one he had, a son beloved. He sent him forth last unto them, saying, they will pay difference unto my son. But those husbandmen unto themselves said, this is the heir, come, let us slay him, and ours will be the inheritance. And taking, they slew him, and cast him forth outside the vineyard. What will the master of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandmen, and let the vineyard unto others.
There's a whole story about Christ and about our conflict between Yahweh and the constant struggle that we have upon this new earth. And so when people don't see life going the way it's supposed to be, you don't look at Yahweh. You look at the problem is because man has free will. And we go into the book of Revelation, chapter 11, and we'll see the man coming against Yahweh, the evilness of man. So what we're discussing is the evilness of man.
Yep.
11 verse 3. And I will give unto my two witnesses that they shall prophesy 1,260 days arrayed in sackcloth. So we're up to two prophets, the witnesses. If somebody says there's no more prophets, well, here's prophecies right here in the book of Revelation. You know, there's always prophets. When people say there's no prophet, that means there's nobody, no spokesman to bring people back to Yahweh. It means people are not erroring with Yahweh. Well, I'm going to say the pastors will do that. No, the Levites are supposed to be doing that. So you have the Levites and priests all the time, and you have prophets. And what do the prophets do is when the Levites and the priests were all wrong, the prophets came in. And right now, the same way, too, the prophets come in when the pastors are wrong or not standing up for what they're supposed to be doing. So you have prophets reproving prophets. And David was a prophet, and guess who reproved him?
Nathan.
Yeah, Nathan. Yeah, Nathan reproved him. All right, and he was a prophet. And so Yahweh has to have a mouthpiece, and it's through his prophets, so there's prophets. But these are the prophets. And let's see what happens then. 7 through 10, and as soon as they have completed their witnessing, the wild beast that has come up out of the abyss will make war with them and overcome them and slay them. And so these are Yahweh's ambassadors, all right, to the earth, in essence. And how are Yahweh's ambassadors being treated?
Slay.
They're going to kill. And that's, they would kill Yahweh if they could. And their dead bodies lie upon the Broadway of the great city, the which is called spiritually Sodom in Egypt, where their Lord also was crucified. And some of the people and tribes and tongues and nations see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and their dead bodies do they not suffer to be put into a tomb. And they who are dwelling upon the earth rejoice over them. And make merry, and gifts will they get send one to another. Well, look at this. They're celebrating and making it a holiday because they killed these prophets. Because these two prophets tormented them that were sitting upon the earth. So that shows you it's all the way through the Bible, all the way through the Word of Yahweh. Now we go to Revelation chapter 9, or 19, sorry. Well, no, let's go to 13. I'm sorry, Jeff went ahead. 13, verse 1. We're going to see who this is. This is the beast that comes to the earth. And I saw out of the sea a wild beast coming up, having 10 horns and 10 heads, and upon his horn 10 diamonds, and upon his head names of blasphemy. There is the beast coming to the earth. 5 and 6. You see? And in our Rothram, they got two sixes. So look at the one five, beginning of the paragraph. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and it was given unto him to act 40 and 2 months. And he opened his mouth for blasphemy against who?
No.
Against Yahweh. To blaspheme his name and his tent, them who in heaven were dwelling. So here's man again blaspheming the Creator. All right, and then, we know what happens to them. The mark of the beast gets put on people. You have to bow to the beast. And so this is Cain and Abel again. Cain and Abel going back and forth. Now we go to 19, called Faithful and True. And in righteousness does he judge and make war. And his eyes are a flame of fire. And upon his head are many diamonds.
Diadems.
Having a name written, which no one knoweth but himself, and arrayed with a mantle, sprinkled with blood, and his name hath been called the Word of Yahweh. Now we go to verse 19. And I saw the wild beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war with who?
Him.
With Christ. All right. So here is again the people of this world who has claimed everything on this earth fighting the Creator's Son, who represent the Creator, who was sitting upon the horse and with his army, and the wild beast was taken, and with him the false prophet who wrought the signs before him, whereby he deceived them who received the mark of the wild beast, and them who were doing homage unto this image alive, were they cast into the lake of fire and burned with brimstone, and the rest were slain with the sword of him that was sitting upon the horse, which is Yahushua, King of kings and Lord of lords, which went forth out of his mouth, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Man is relentless in fighting Yahweh. So they try to attack us too, because we represent who Yahweh was. Yes. And now we go into verse 3. And I saw a messenger coming down out of heaven, having the key of the abyss and a great chain upon his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, the ancient sea. Then there's going to be a revolt. So here you got a perfect man who is just, who is all loving, justice, righteousness. You have a kingdom where there's just loving kindness, justice, and righteousness everywhere for 1,000 years, and people are going to rebel against that. All right? And so the adversary is let loose, and in verse 7, and as soon as 1,000 years shall be ended, the accuser shall be loosened out of his prison and will go forth to deceive the nations, that are in the four corners of the earth, the Gog and Magog, to gather them together unto the battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. So there's this many people who want to kill Christ, the king. And so you see, what the problem is always certain portion of the inhabitants of planet Erech. All right? I would say, yeah. So I would say Eretz. So Earth is Eretz, planet Eretz. And they came up over the breadth of the land and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and there came down fire out of heaven and devoured them. So then that institution, you know, is destroyed. Those individuals are destroyed. And finally, what can happen is the new heaven and new earth. And that's chapter 21. Now, all the evil people are gone, because if you're not written in the book of life, you're thrown into the lake of fire. All right, so, and the adversary is thrown in the lake of fire. He is gone. The beast is gone. And now it's purified enough where actually the new heaven and earth can come down. 21 verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and the sea is no more. And the holy city, New Jerusalem, saw a coming down out of heaven from Yahweh, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice out of the throne saying, Lo, the tent of Yahweh is with men, and he will tabernacle with them, and they shall be his peoples, and he shall be Elohim with them, and he shall wipe away every tear out of their eyes, and death shall be no more, and grief and outcry and pain shall be no more, the first things having passed away. So we know on this particular earth, we're going to have tears, and we're going to have death, and we're going to have grief. This is what they call the second heaven and earth. That's part of it. The purpose of this teaching so much is to get people to keep focusing on the new heaven and the new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. And we'll kind of go over that. But this is, we can't lose sight of that, and we have to have a good image, like Elijah and other people, to have a good image of what that's supposed to be. Because if you can't picture it, a lot of times you get deceived and you end up doing the lust of the flesh or kind of cashing in for this life. Let's just see it a little bit about man in 2 Peter. You want to go over? Go all right. Chapter 2. Now, a great illustration of men.
Page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 243.
Second Peter what?
Chapter 2, verse 1. And who would like to read this? And we're going to read...
I will.
It might be a little too much for you, because we're reading all the way to chapter or verse 19. So we'll do a smaller part for you.
I'll read.
Until you get tired, then somebody else can kick in.
But there arose false prophets also among the people, as among you also there shall be false teachers, men who will stealthily bring in destructive parties, even the master that bought them denying bringing upon themselves speedy destruction. And many will follow out their wanton ways, by reasons of whom the way of truth will be defamed. And in greed will forge with forged words will they of you make merchandise, for whom the sentence of the old is not idle, and their destruction doth not slumber. For if Yahweh spared not messengers when they sinned, but to pits of gloom consigned them, in the lowest Hades delivered them up to be kept into judgment. And an ancient world spared not, but with seven others preserved Noah, a proclaimer of righteousness, a flood upon the world of unrighteous persons letting loose. And the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, reducing to ashes, he condemned, an example of such as should be unrighteous having set forth. And righteous Lot, when getting worn out by the behavior of them who were impious and wantonness, he rescued. For in seeing and hearing, since he dwelt right among them as a righteous man, he used to torment his soul day by day with their lawless deeds.
Don't stop there. And then what happens to many of us is we've got to realize that we should be, you know, tormented when we see unrighteousness that happens in the earth. All right? And so we're going to find out we can still enjoy this earth in this particular time, which we will go over that. But we should also be tormented when we see unrighteousness is happening in the United States, in other countries. And but we got to realize there's a great song, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. So the heavens are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. What's the rest of it go? I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I can't. And so we got to realize that it keeps generation upon generation to keep your eyes, which we're going to see Abraham's eyes were on a city whose builder and maker is Yahweh. All right? And so we don't get too discouraged. But we see that is man, and I'll read verse 9, and the Lord knows how to rescue the godly out of trial, but to keep the unrighteous unto a day of judgment to be punished. So there's the godly and there's the unrighteous. Most of all, however, them, well, we're going to stop here, but here's the wicked men. It goes all the way through the chapter. Go to chapter 3, and then we're going to get into the three heaven and three earths. And where many times people are confused or deceived, is the heaven has taken over the concept of new earth.
Right.
And we know that the meek shall inherit the earth. It's always been the new earth. Man is a terrestrial being. The Garden of Eden is on the earth. The thousand year reigns on the earth. The new heaven, new Jerusalem is going to be on the earth. When Christ comes back, we're going to go into the clouds with Christ for a period of time, and it's like Noah was lifted up above the earth for a year before he came back to the earth. All right, but he came back to the earth. Noah did not become an aquatic person who lived on a boat the rest of his life. We're not going to be in heaven except for 7 years or more with Christ, because when Christ comes back, we will come back with him, and as he reigns, we will reign with him, and it's always on the new earth. And the whole word of Yahweh is full of the new earth and the fruitfulness of it. And why? To give us ideas for rewards that we can cash in on this. And many people say, well, you shouldn't want to do that. Yes, absolutely. Yahweh rewards people who diligently seek him. If you do not seek him, you don't get rewards. Very simply. You can still have salvation, but he's a good CEO or payer. But we'll look at these three worlds. In chapter 3, verse 1, this already, beloved, is the second letter I am writing unto you, and in these letters I am storing up by way of calling to remembrance your uncorrupted mind, to remember the forespoken declaration made by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior by your apostles. Now this be first taking note that there will come in the last of the days with scoffers, after their own covetings going on and saying, where is the promise of his presence? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things thus remain from the beginning of creation. So we see, try to discourage believers. All right? Come on, join us. Forget about those holy rollers. Forget about serving that God. He's not coming back anyway. Come on in and let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Verse 5, for this they willfully forget that there were heavens from of old and an earth on account of water and by means of water compacted by Yahweh's word, by which means the world that then was with water being flooded perished. That was Genesis, between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. This is not Noah's flood. All right, because the world perished and Noah's world didn't perish. There's animals on the ark, there's people on the ark, and all the fish and animals in the sea did not die. They're all still there. All right, so that world didn't perish. That's another teaching. And verse 7, while the heaven and the earth that now are, and that's where we presently are, by the same word has been stored with fire. So the first one ended by water. All right, and remember Genesis 1:2. And the heavens, let me just go right there. Keep your hand there. You don't have to go there, but it's important to read. People have this misunderstanding. And in Genesis 1, 2, now the earth had become waste and wild. It didn't say the heavens. So let's just do this. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, the earth, not the heavens, had become waste and wild, and darkness was on the face of the roaring deep. All right? But the Spirit of Elohim was brooding on the face of the waters. And the Elohim said, so we're talking about waters, that was a world that was destroyed by waters. That's the first heaven and first earth. Now we go back. Ours is going to be destroyed by fire. All right? So if you have any possessions, it doesn't really matter because it's all going to be consumed up. Yahweh will redo it. And verse 8, let me see here. But this one thing, forget not, beloved, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering with regard to you, not being mindful that any should perish, but that all unto repentance should come. Howbeit the day of Yahweh will be here as a thief, in which the heavens with a rushing noise will pass away, while elements becoming intensely hot will be dissolved, and earth and the works thereof will be discovered, seeing that all these things are thus to be dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye all the while be in holy ways of behavior and acts of godliness, expecting and hastening the presence of the day of Yahweh, by reason of which heavens being on fire will be dissolved, and elements becoming intensely hot are to be melted. But new heaven and a new earth, according to his promise, are we expecting. That is our hope, and that is our promise, and this is what we have to keep at least a third of our time thinking about that place and rejoicing about that place. Wherein righteousness is to dwell. So when we see unrighteousness abounding, and the righteousness does abound too. So we're in a free country. There's a lot worse countries, communist countries, than we presently have. So we can rejoice what is good, and then we can realize when the unrighteousness comes, like Obama does, we can say, I'm looking for a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. And that's our hope, because my hope is not here. All right, this earth's not going to make it anyway. We'll try to make it as best we can, but it's not going to finish the test because it's going to be consumed by fire. So if we enjoy the earth that is now, so really our lessons, see how much time we got? Our lessons is really threefold. We don't want to be pessimists where we're always thinking about this world is terrible and we can't wait till the new earth. Well, you're not smelling the flowers. You're not glorifying our Father, which you should be glorifying our Father every day, which it says that. So we want to enjoy the earth. We want to fight against the evil and endure, and then we also want to be seeing the new earth. So let's just talk about enjoying the earth. Psalms 104.
Will there be a doing for legend?
Yeah, let
him
read.
It's a lot of reading, so. But we'll give you one in Philippians. So page 583. And this is just wonderful. So if you look at Yahweh's creation and you look at the skies and you look at the sun coming up, there's a day of rejoicing. Every day we should be rejoicing and praising because nobody likes an unhappy kid. What would you call that? You know, somebody's always looking at what's wrong. So we have to look at what is right. All right? And rejoice and be thankful to our Father that we have food, that we have shelter, that we have clothing, that we have freedom. And there are things wrong. Yes, it is. But we've got to say that. So Psalms 104, verse 1. Bless, O my soul, Yahweh. Yahweh, my Elohim, thou art exceedingly great. With honor and majesty hast thou clothed thyself, putting on light as a robe, stretching out the heavens as a curtain, building in the waters his upper chambers, who make it clouds his chariot, who passed along the wings of the Ruach, making his messengers Ruachs, his attendants a flaming fire. He hath fixed the earth on its foundation, and it shall not be shaken through time's age, body, and beyond. That is a new earth, or the present earth that we're in here. And if you can see verse 31 to 35, how it ends, David was always praising our Father, and we should always praise our Father. Be thy glory, O Yahweh, to times age abiding. Let Yahweh rejoice in his own works, who looketh at the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the mountains, and they smoke. I will sing to Yahweh as long as I live. Oh, this is great. What a heart. Now, here's a person that father can say, here's a thankful kid. All right? I will touch the strings to my Elohim while I continue. Pleasing unto him be my meditation. I will rejoice in Yahweh. Sinners shall be consumed out of the earth. There we go. There's the end. Sinners shall be consumed out of the earth, and the lawless no more shall what? Exist. Bless, O my soul, Yahweh. Praise ye, Yah. Here's another good illustration that there's no hell. All right? Right here. Sinners shall be consumed out of the earth, and the lawless no more shall exist. All right? John 3:16. Perish after Lumai. And so you just got to get rid of these doctrines of men. You know, they come in here. Just see what the Word says. All right. Now we go to Philippians.
Flip over to Philippians.
And we'll let Elijah read a few chapters, read a little bit on Philippians. Chapter 4, verse 4, page 204. Now, can you read loud?
Where?
Okay, 204, chapter 4.
With thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known unto Yahweh, and the peace of Yahweh, which riseth above every mind, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus.
Amen. And here's the guy who's in prison, who's rejoicing and rejoicing and rejoicing. So we need to rejoice. Now, we got to also see that we have, you know, a great day. I'm praising. I'm taking a walk. I'm just thanking Yahweh for everything. But now I'm going to get into contact with some evil men. All right? That comes part of our lives many times. And we have to fight. And we also have to endure. Because their objective is to try to break us. All right? And so that's Hebrews 11. Verse 1. This also shows us on keeping our eyes on the unseen. So the new creation is the unseen world. There is another world. We know our Father is in the unseen world. We know the messengers in the unseen world. Cherubims. Our Lord's there. We got demons. We got our adversary all in the unseen world. The 11th verse 1. The faith is a thing's hope for, a confidence. A fact, a conviction, when they are not seen. Alright? That's our objective of the new earth, is the same. But we're going to also see Hebrews is not for us. The book of Hebrews is not for us. It's for somebody we believe is probably after we're gone. Alright? That's for Hebrews. Alright? But we can learn from it. But chapter 11, most people call it the faith chapter, which is true. But it's really about endurance. Enduring, enduring, enduring. That's what the chapter is about. And so we'll look at this word, and let's just look at before. Yeah, we'll go on the enduring, chapter 10, verse 36. For of endurance you have need, in order that the will of Yahweh having done, you may bear away the promise. So this section begins with endurance. All right, we get into 11, verse 25. Chapter 11, verse 25, rather choosing to be jointly suffering ill treatment with the people of Yahweh than for a season to be having sins enjoyment. This is Moses. Accounting a greater riches than Egypt's treasures, the reproach of the Anointed One, for he was looking away unto the recompense. See how Moses looked. By faith he forsook Egypt, not in fear of the wrath of the king, for in seeing him who cannot be seen, he persevered. We look at him who cannot be seen. And verse 35 to 38. Women received by resurrection their dead, but others were put to the rack. not accepting redemption, that into a better resurrection they might attain. And so you see this. This is all the new earth, the new heaven and new earth that's coming, wherein dwells righteousness. Others again are mocking and scourging, receive trial, made further of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, were pierced through, were sawn asunder by myrrh with a sword, died, went about in sheepskins and goat hides, being in want, suffering tribulation, enduring ill treatment, of whom the world was not worthy, upon deserts wandering and mountains and in caves and in caverns of the earth. Now, we go into our Lord, in Acts 12, verse 1 to 3. Therefore, indeed, seeing that we also have encircled us so great a cloud of witnesses, stripping off every encumbrance and the easily entangling sin, with endurance, there's the word endurance again, with endurance, let us be running the race that is lying before us. What is endurance? It is not stopping, and it's not fading, and it's not quitting. And we know many people in the Christian faith, we can see that they either slow down or they actually just quit. And they've lost their endurance. Looking away unto our faith, princely leader and perfecter, Yahushua, who in consideration of the joy lying before him, endured a cross, shame despising, and at the right hand of the throne of Yahweh hath taken his seat. Chapter 11, verse 1. This is what we need to feed on to give us endurance. And to seek to please our Heavenly Father, because we get a good picture of what's going to happen. 11, 1 through 9. Would you like to read that, Wendy?
Yep. Okay. I'm having a little trouble here. 11, I'm looking at 10. Where's 1? The punishment of Assyria?
No. Page 658.
I'm sorry. But there shall come forth a shoot from the stalk of Jesse, and a sprout from his roots shall bear fruit. And the spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him, and the spirit of wisdom, or the ruach of wisdom and understanding, the ruach of counsel and might, the ruach of knowledge and the reverence of Yahweh. So will he find fragrance in the reverence of Yahweh. And not by the sight of his eyes will he judge, nor by the hearing of his ears will he decide. But he will judge with righteousness them who are poor, and decide with equity for the oppressed of the land. And he will smite the land with the scepter of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips, the ruach of his lips, will he slay the lawless one. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. And the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard with the kid shall lie down, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together with a little child leading them. And the cow with the bear shall find pasture. Together shall their young ones lie down, and the lion like the ox shall eat straw. And the sucking child shall caress over the hole of the axe. Yea, over the viper's den hath the weaned child stretched out his hand. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For filled is the land with the knowledge of Yahweh, as the waters to the sea form a covering.
There's a great other case is in Amos, chapter 9.
And there's page.
I'll give it to you. Let's see here, that's page 880. Those are the mind pictures. Alright, where complete peace, complete righteousness, complete Yahweh's, or Christ, Yahushua was ruling before Yahweh takes over. So we get to see what this land's like in Amos 9, verse 13, page 880. 13. Lo, days are coming, declareth Yahweh, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, And he that treadeth out the grapes, him that traileth the seed, so shall the mountains drip sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt, and I will bring back a captivity of my people Israel, and they shall build waste cities and inhabit them, and plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof, and lay out gardens and eat the fruit thereof. So will I plant them upon their own soil, and will not uproot them any more from off their own soil, which I have given to them, said Yahweh thy Elohim. We know in Revelation, chapter 21 and 22, it talk all about it. So we have to realize, too, that, okay, rewards. You know, so we have rewards for this life by doing the will of Yahweh. We also want rewards for the new life, for the new heaven and earth. And that goes into 1 Corinthians 3. So we got to focus on rewards. Page 167. And nothing makes it live more in your mind than doing great things to please our Father, knowing that you're going to be paid for it now and in the future life. But if anyone is building upon the foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work shall be made manifest. For the day will make it plain, because by fire it is to be revealed, and each one's work of that sort it is, the fire itself will prove. If anyone's work shall abide, which he built, a reward shall he receive. Okay, so right here it talks about we have gold, silver, precious stones. Does fire affect those? No. They survive the fire. All right? How does wood, hay, and straw do on fire? They are consumed. So we know the first one is gold, silver, precious stones. That's what we need to be investing in. The second part, if anyone's work shall be burned up, that is wood, hay, or straw, he shall suffer loss, but shall himself be saved through thus as through fire. So we see that the good people should have many gold, silver, and jewels. The bad people are consumed, as we know. They're going to be thrown in the lake of fire. The people who didn't live up to their potential many times by going to the worlds of the flesh and fulfilling their coveting, all right, many times will be there, but they put all their foundation on wood, hay, and straw, which is going to be consumed. And so they're in. But they really were not focusing on the new earth. So, enjoy the earth, but remember it's just a token for the coming earth. And we have to tell our kids, we have to read to our children, we have to read ourselves to motivate us. Endure and fight evil, and that's deceived and weak men. Alright, so we have to fight evil men, deceive men, we try to undeceive, and we try to strengthen weak men, you know, when they're weak. And talk to each other as children to see the new earth, as did Noah, Abraham, and Sarah. We do not blame Yahweh for the state of the earth. All right, so we have to look at it as man, and it's the present men who are doing it that they got freedom to do. So, we'll kind of end there. I'm going to tell everybody on live stream, if you want to read about the new earth, go to Isaiah in chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, chapter 11, 1 through 11, chapter 25, 26, and 27, chapter 32, 15 to 18, chapter 33, verses 20 to 22, chapter 35, chapters 51, verse 3, chapter 60, chapter 61, verses 4 through 11, and then chapter 65, 17 to 25. And also we have papers on paradise on Telluso's website. All right. So I'll give a prophecy for those who are on live stream. And then we'll sign off. Well, Heavenly Father, and this is according to 1 Corinthians 14, the words of edification, exhortation, and comfort. Oh, Father, we thank you so much for the people who are watching or will be watching in the future. And so we thank you for these words for them that will build them up by exhortation and comfort, and words from you to them, to their ears. My sons and my daughters, be still and know that I, as abiding in you, the witness of my existence, will pop its head up all the time, showing my manifestation of who I am and what I can be in your lives. So do not forsake my word, but my word you shall be found. And so I will exalt thee as I did with my son, sitting him at the right hand as you seek your future. Seek it as my will, and your future will be great, as was my son's. But we thank you, Father, for those words.